Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. Hey, before we get started, I want to tell you about my favorite nutrition program, Champion Athletes. As an athlete, whether at the middle school, high school, collegiate, or professional level, you have special nutritional needs, and these vary depending on your sport and energy requirements. Nutrition and ideal body composition play an essential role in achieving your performance goals and maximizing your success. At Champion Athletes, certified experts in sports nutrition develop individualized plans for the student, amateur, and professional athlete. Their sports nutrition programs will optimize your diet and nutrition so that you can achieve your ideal body composition and maximize your performance. Here's what I love. Each program is tailored to meet your specific needs through a comprehensive assessment, continuous reevaluation, and one-on-one coaching. So whether you're just starting out, maybe you're an amateur athlete, or you have elite status, the Champion Athlete Sports Nutrition Programs will help you reach your maximum potential. Programs are available nationwide. And for us, if you are a listener of Coach P's Perspective, you'll receive a $50 discount for the initial program if you use the code COACHP. Their website is champions-athletes.com. So be sure to check out the website. You can also look at their Instagram page, which is at championathletes. I'll have those links in the show notes. Go check out my friends at Champion Athletes to get your nutrition right, to reach your maximum potential and performance. All right. Hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I am pumped, man. So I have one of my friends, Dan Warnikoff, on here. Dan and I actually have done some podcast type things together. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about his background before we jump in. So Dan actually runs a company called Champion Athletes. And what he does is he works with some of the best athletes in the nation on their nutrition, which is vitally important in the sport that I'm mostly known for, which is wrestling. And I'm also a nutrition nerd. So Dan and I have got on together. We've done some broadcasts. He is exceptionally knowledgeable in this area. So we met through actually Wrestling Mindset. Like I said, we did some things together. He's a certified sports nutritionist, runs Champion Athlete, which I'm going to let him tell us more about that. And again, works with some of the athletes, some of the top athletes in the nation. We were just talking previously, some of his clients did very well at Fargo, but we're talking for every sport. So Dan, thanks for being on here.
Oh, Chad, I really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, you bet. So, you know, whenever we've worked together before, I'm always amazed. I mean, you are a wealth of knowledge when it comes to nutrition. So typically whenever we were working together, I was taking notes as I was listening to you most of the time, because as a coach, I want my athletes to have every advantage possible, right? When it comes to strength training, when it comes to nutrition, sleep, when it comes to technique. So we can't be too good in those areas. Plus, I try to work out and stay fit myself. And so, you know, the more I can know, the more knowledgeable I am about nutrition, the better off I'm going to be as a coach and as a husband, as a, you know, as a dad, all those type of things. And you're awesome in the area. But before we get into that, let's start with your background a little bit. So tell me like where you grew up, maybe some of the sports that you played, and just a little bit about that so we can get to know you as a person.
Sure. So I grew up in a small town in northern New Jersey called Woodcliff Lake. I was very lucky that the house that I was born in is the same house I graduated from high school in. So I have friends that I went to kindergarten with all the way through high school. So that's kind of a unique experience. I don't think a lot of people get that nowadays. It seems like people are moving a little bit more, that kind of thing. So that was pretty unique to get to do that. As a kid, I wasn't actually involved in that many sports because my parents weren't athletes. So my father actually grew up in, was born in Switzerland and then grew up in Cuba. So he never really played American sports. So, you know, listening to your podcast and a lot of the other people I talk to, a lot of the sports comes from their dad played this sport. And so they got them involved. I never really had that opportunity. So I kind of putzed around in all the different sports, played a little baseball, played football, you know, just kind of a kid trying different sports. Can honestly say I didn't really excel at anything, but I enjoyed sports as a, you know, as a general rule. And a lot of my friendships through school were because of sports. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So academically, what were some of the interests you had? And then tell me about the journey. So, you know, you play sports, let's say you kind of go through high school. What were some of your academic interests? Were you always interested in nutrition and the body and fitness?
I was always interested in the body and medicine, actually, and in healthcare. When I was 16, I became an emergency medical technician, started volunteering on the local ambulance corps in the town that I was in, became a lifeguard right around the same time. So I was doing that as a part-time job. And when I graduated from high school, I went to the University of Rochester in Rochester, New York, and began studying really kind of a dual major, psychology and healthcare management. And I was really trying to decide, did I want to go to medical school, what direction I wanted to go in. And my sophomore year in high school, I decided to become a paramedic. So a paramedic is about 100 times more training than to be an EMT. So once you become a paramedic, you're learning how to give medications, how to do invasive procedures into patients, a much higher level of care. So I kind of did something a little crazy, which was I did my paramedic training while continuing my bachelor's degree full time. So 2 days a week, 3 days a week, I was going up to Buffalo, New York, driving about an hour away, going to paramedic school, then coming back, doing my regular bachelor's degree, and then doing the same thing for a whole year in order to get that accomplished. After I graduated from college, I should step back a little bit. So I finished the paramedic training and then I began working part-time as a paramedic. I worked in New Jersey and I worked in the Rochester area. And then once I graduated from college, my first full-time job actually was a paramedic on a helicopter program that had just started in Rochester, New York. So I was appointed the chief flight paramedic and I flew on a helicopter right outside the Rochester area for about 2 years. After that, my family kind of decided it was better to move back to the New York area. And I moved back to this area and I began working for a hospital in this area. Went back to school, ended up doing postgraduate work in healthcare management. And I was working for a hospital and running about 5 different departments for one hospital. But in 2006, the hospital began layoffs and I was laid off. My oldest son was in high school. My younger son was in middle school. It just wasn't a time that our family wanted to move. And when a hospital lays off, they lay off lots of people. 2,400 people were laid off the same day I was.
Wow.
So there just wasn't a position in the area for me to really find. So I was doing a few different things. I was working for another hospital as a paramedic. I was doing some real estate investing, kind of just trying to figure out what was next for me. And both my sons wrestled. They started on their own. My oldest son, when he was in 7th grade, came home with one of those flyers, wanted to join the wrestling team. And when all this stuff kind of happened, I was spending a lot of time learning about wrestling, working with my kids on wrestling, just learning about the sport as, you know, a parent wants to do to support their kids. And I really felt that wrestling was an amazing sport for all the different reasons, but the weight management part of it was terrible. Mm-hmm. And nobody really knew like how to manage their weight. And I was trying to give my kids advice based on my healthcare background, but I really didn't know what I was doing. So that's when it really became a quest for me to kind of learn about weight management practices, trying to find like the best way to do it, using my medical experience to kind of make it more of a better methodology for how to help people manage their weight. And Champion Athletes grew out of that.
Yeah, so you're 100% right on. Before we get into the wrestling and the nutrition part on that, you know, being a paramedic, man, I mean, I don't know, that's in New Jersey, in New York, I'm sure there's, being paramedic anywhere is tough, man. But is that something that you found super rewarding getting to help people out in that way? How difficult is it? You know, because it's super interesting to me, man, especially because you went that direction so young.
Yeah, I mean, for whatever reason, it was definitely a calling for me. From the very first time I rode on an ambulance call, I knew this is something I wanted to do. And that's really why I didn't pursue it like a medical degree, was because the pre-hospital environment working that way is such a different experience. I mean, you're pulling up into somebody's house who's critically ill and you have to treat them right there. So you're bringing all your equipment with you. And there's all kinds of challenges involved in the environment you're working in. Some days you'll be out in a car wreck climbing on top of a big truck trying to get to the patient. And other days you'll be working in somebody's bathroom trying to do CPR and resuscitate them. So just all those aspects of it, I was, you know, totally stoked about working in that area.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, the value in that, you know, so we often think about police officers, we often think about firemen, you know, and I think a lot of times when we're thinking about frontline, right, we're thinking about first responders, you know, the things that you see, the things you deal with, but also the value that you bring is just absolutely critical, literally, and amazing, you know, being able to do that. So that's really cool that you have that part of your life, and then moving into, like you said, hospital administration, seeing those areas of healthcare, of human care, right? Taking care of people, and then moving over to nutrition. So anyway, I didn't want to bypass that, man, because it's so vitally important what you did. And I think it's pretty awesome. Now, when we're talking about wrestling, you know, like you said, a lot of parents, whatever sport their kid gets into, they want to be able to support it. And so for a long time in the sport of wrestling, people didn't, and this is getting better, but people did not do a great job with their nutrition. They did not do a good job with weight management, or, you know, back in the day, everybody was cutting weight, you know, air quotations, we were cutting weight. And so, you know, I grew up in a time where people lost a lot of weight to go and wrestle. For those who aren't listening, or for those who are listening who aren't wrestling people, because we have a lot of businessmen or people listen to this, the reason behind it, and it gives wrestling a bad stigma a lot of times, is there's this perception, if I drop a couple weight classes, I'll be the bigger athlete, or I need to drop a couple weight classes so that way I'm equal with these other people because they're doing that. And it's the only way I'm going to be able to maintain, you know, an advantage in there, or maintain at least some sort of equality, which isn't true, right? And so thankfully that culture of weight cutting, drastic weight cutting, has changed in a lot of areas in the U.S. Not everywhere, but it's changed a lot of areas in the U.S. and for the better. And it's people like you who are helping educate us and helping athletes be able to do that. So that's big, just a little background of what it's like. And I know for me as an athlete, there were times I cut weight and I did it extremely wrong, right? I was cutting tons of water weight and not eating and things like that, which means I'm losing muscle. And, you know, heck, you're just cutting pure water. I mean, your brain's not functioning right. So when I was in college, my freshman year in college, I just kind of decided, like, man, I want to make this, I want to basically be a professional when it comes to my nutrition and control the controllables. Really started studying it, try to make an art out of it. And thankfully I was able to do that pretty well. And my body responded well, right? I wrestled much better because my nutrition was much better and I learned how to do that. But a lot of people don't. Either they don't know where to start. There's so much information out there. So tell me about, you know, you started getting into this. What made you decide to make the jump? Like, hey, I'm going to go get certified in sports nutrition and really like starting your company.
So I was really kind of at this crossroads of career and not really sure what direction I wanted to go in. You know, to be honest, I was a little burnt from working in that critical care, critically ill patient environment, and was looking to do something maybe not as stressful moving forward. And as you get older, you realize that, you know, working nights and being out in negative 20 degree weather in the middle of the night trying to work on a patient isn't the easiest thing to do on your body. So you're kind of thinking about, you know, at some point you're going to have to transition away from that. So honestly, I really thought I was going to be doing this just really to help my kids' friends out, help other wrestlers out that I knew. I really didn't think this was going to develop into a business. But what happened was, as I started talking to parents, started talking to coaches, started talking to kids, I realized what a need for it was. So Champion Athlete started off as a part-time thing, and then it just kind of grew and snowballed. and developed into what it is now because the need was there. And then as we continued to grow and make more connections, parents started asking us about working with their other kids in other sports, helping them perform better, helping them do better in their sports. And that's really how Champion Athletes grew into what it is today.
So when you, when Rice say certified sports nutritionist, what comes with that?
So there are different pathways to get into nutrition in the United States. Most people who work in nutrition are registered dietitians, but to become a registered dietitian takes a 4-year bachelor's degree and then a 2-year master's degree. I already had postgraduate work, had completed a bachelor's degree, and I wasn't really in that position to go back and kind of start learning all over again. So instead, I was able to do a program where I could study remotely, do internet courses, and then pass a certification in sports nutrition. So, you know, I passed like a board exam where I was asked over 1,000 questions about athletes and nutrition, everything from proteins and carbohydrates to hydration. And if you passed the exam, then you were able to call yourself a certified sports nutritionist.
Yeah. So, okay. And then, you know, when you started your company, Champion Athletes, was there a focus initially just on wrestling? Or like you said, it kind of grew naturally, organically, which is awesome because that means that you were doing your job very well, right? You get more and more people like, hey, can you help us in these other areas of other sports? But was it focused mostly on wrestling initially?
Yeah, in the beginning, I was only working with wrestlers, and it was all word of mouth from one parent or kid to another parent or kid who wanted to learn about what I was doing. And their kids were seeing better results on the mat. They were feeling better. Academically, the kids were doing better, which was really significant. And the other thing that parents were always telling me is how better their household was. There wasn't all this fighting back and forth, you know, don't eat this, you can't do that, whatever. All that had stopped because the kids were following a plan. And as they followed the plan, their weight came down. So they didn't have to do that. And as long as they followed the plan, they were hitting their goals.
Yeah. So whenever we're, and again, I'm moving forward a little bit, you work with a lot of sports. What are some of the common, let's kind of start with issues and we'll talk about answers. What are kind of some of the common issues that you see out here? Let's say teenage athletes, when it comes to teenage athletes and eating.
So, you know, a lot of people come to a nutritionist because they're not happy with their body composition. Either they're really small and they want to get bigger for their sport, like a lot of lacrosse or football players want to put on some weight, put on some muscle. And then there are other guys who maybe want to lean down a little bit because they have a little excess body fat. And to be more successful in their sport, they need to lean down. So the most common reason for someone seeing a sports nutritionist is to change their body composition a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the common issues that we find is not fueling at the right times. You know, a lot of kids will not eat breakfast, not eat lunch. They'll be working out all day at school, going to school, working out for practice. Then they'll go home and eat like this huge dinner. And they wonder why they're not, you know, excelling in school and on the mat or in the practice room. And it's because they're just not fueling at the proper times. So we help provide them a schedule so that they're eating at a more regular intervals and eating the right foods at the right times to get the most out of what they're eating.
Yeah, I know that as you and I work together and people would often ask things like, you know, hey, it's, you know, halftime of our football game or, you know, middle of a soccer game, like what can I refuel with? So there's lots of questions out there that people, when it comes to timing, right? Lots of questions out there that people often had, and I would see those and you always give really good answers for those type of things. So let's use football as an example. Football season's coming up. Let's say a football player, they've done their summer workouts, they've built some muscle, they've been following your plan, but now we're getting into football season. Tell me, and they want to maintain, right? They want to have plenty of energy and maintain their muscle mass throughout football season. Give me an example of like what that would look like for them when it comes to like eating plan and timing and things like that.
Sure. So, I mean, most of our clients are on a 6-meal-a-day schedule. So our goal is that they'll have a decent breakfast in the morning. And, you know, some people are morning people, so they're willing to eat like a bigger breakfast, and other guys just can't stomach that idea. So they'll have a smaller breakfast. And then we recommend a snack around 10 o'clock in the morning, lunch around 12, 1 o'clock. a pre-workout snack, which most athletes never think of doing. I would say 1 in 10 athletes come into my office and have never eaten before practice. And we think that's key, is to get some calories in, get some good carbs in before practice, so you have really good energy throughout your practice. And then how to repair and rebuild after practice. So that dinner combination of proteins and carbs, and then a little night snack before you go to bed.
What's a good example of a pre-workout? And I like that you said that too, because you talked about breakfast. Sometimes people are like, you know, oh, you gotta have this, it's gotta be the biggest meal today. You gotta have a huge breakfast. And of course, and then these days, not so much with athletes, but just in general with people, fasting is kind of a trend. So a lot of times people aren't eating breakfast because they're fasting. But I like that you, and I know this is something you do really well, each individual kid has an individual plan. So as you're saying these things, this would be planned for everybody or each individual client. But just looking at the difference, hey, some people, like for me, like I have a protein shake in the morning and I have a lot of stuff in it, but I'm not a huge breakfast guy. I'm not going to get up and eat a ton. So if somebody told me to do that, I'd be like, ah, dude, really? Like it'd be harder for me to do. But so give me a good example of a pre-workout meal though, something that people can eat, it sets on their stomach well, or a pre-workout snack. They can go out and they can run through practice and make sure that they have calories and energy.
So we like real simple things for that. We like things like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a piece of citrus fruit. So like a couple of clementines or an orange, something like that, that gives some real quick energy. If that's not practical, a protein bar and a piece of fruit is always a really good option. Some of my guys like a pre-made protein shake, like a Core Power or something like that. Some people find that a little too heavy in their stomach, but other guys like it. So some of it's trial and error to find the right formula that works best for each client. But that's part of our intake, is to really get to know them a little bit and ask them some input on what they think they would feel best eating. And we'll try it. And if it doesn't work for them, we'll switch it up and try something else.
Yeah. So let's, I don't want to jump past that. Let's talk real quick about relationship building. Cause as a coach, I'm building relationships with my athletes, right? It's a vital part of what we do. I'm teaching them to say, you know, when I'm coaching wrestling, I mean, I'm running practice, teaching technique, we're doing strength conditioning, we're doing all the things that we do in wrestling practice, but we really try to make sure as coaches, we're building relationships with their athletes. And I know that the coaches that built relationship with me, I would run through a wall for those guys, right? I listen to them. I love them. I would do whatever they say. Because, you know, they're like, hey, I know that they have my best interests at heart and they want me to be the best wrestler possible. So as a mindset coach, I build relationships with my athletes too, as I'm teaching them things, because everyone's a little different. So you are a nutrition coach essentially for your athletes. So talk about that, like the importance of getting to know them and building a relationship with them during the process.
So what we really believe is that relationship starts from the first time we meet them. Mm-hmm. So we have detailed questionnaires that people fill out about their eating habits, how their family eats. And the first part of our appointment is to spend at least a half an hour getting to know them, getting to know their family, going through the questions, clarifying different answers to the questions to make sure we really know the client we're working with. And then once we actually send them their plan, so, you know, a lot of nutritionists will kind of give a client a plan while they're at the office. We don't do that. We create a customized meal plan for each person. So we take all this information, sit down basically with a blank page and start putting in foods and trying to get to the right calories, proteins, carbs, and fats that that client needs to hit their goals. And then the other way that we build our relationship with our clients is through texting. So I don't know if my company could have existed before texting, because all of our clients text us their weight, let us know how they're feeling, how their energy is. Some guys text us twice a day, some guys a little less frequently, but that's how we engage with each of our clients on a regular basis. We want to make sure that between appointments, they're making success and they're hitting the goals that we set up together. And if they're not, we're going to change up their plan and help them get there.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Another big area, you know, and this is for everybody, not just for athletes, but especially athletes. And we're coming into the fall and it's still hot. All right. Hydration. So how important is hydration? And then what do you suggest athletes do? Because I know that I see this as a school teacher and a coach. Kids come to school and these days, sometimes they carry, you know, water bottles and things like that. But a lot of times kids don't have that on them. They're hitting the water fountain for a couple of seconds, a few times a day, then they roll into practice and they really didn't drink a lot during the day. So tell me a little bit about hydration.
Yeah, I mean, hydration is definitely a focus of our intake. And we also measure their body composition with ultrasound, which tells us how their hydration status is. So then we're going to tell them about how much they need to be drinking, what they should be drinking. But the key is that you start hydrating the minute you wake up in the morning and are consistently hydrating throughout the day. So you go to practice hydrated, and then you replenish that hydration during and after practice.
Yeah. So it's huge. I mean, again, and I have to tell my wrestlers this all the time during the season, like, you need to make sure that you're hydrating all day long, that you have your water bottle with you, you're filling it up, because if you just stop and get something from the water fountain real quick, you're only going to be there a couple of seconds. You may feel like you drank a lot of water, but you didn't, you know?
Well, look, I remember when I was in high school, one of my good friends was a wrestler, and he would stop drinking anything on Monday in order to make weight on Friday. So he would take these tiny little sips of water because he said he wasn't allowed. His coaches told him he wasn't allowed to drink anything because it puts weight on. Now, you and I have both learned that that's crazy, but that was the philosophy 30 years ago. That's exactly what it was. You stop drinking on Monday, pull all the water out of you constantly all week long, and then you're supposed to be able to perform all of a sudden at the end of the week. So, you know, we do spend a lot of time kind of re-educating people, because in sports, there's this big family history. Yeah. My dad wrestled, my grandfather wrestled, my great-grandfather wrestled, and this is how they did it, so this is how I should do it. And it happens in baseball, it happens in football, it happens in basketball. So a lot of it is just, we didn't know any better 30, 40 years ago, but we do know better now.
Yeah. I have to re-educate kids a lot. You know, I'll have freshmen roll in and it'll be Monday and they're wearing sweatshirts and hoodies and sweatpants and taping the sleeves. And I have to pull them aside, like, hey, what are you doing? And they're like, well, I got to cut weight. I got to make weight Saturday. I'm like, today's Monday. First off, you're going to get so hot in about 20 minutes that I'm only going to get half effort out of you. Right. If you're in t-shirt and shorts and you could stay cooler, we're going to get full effort out of you. You're going to overheat and we're going to get no effort out of you. And you're not burning as many calories and we're not going to dehydrate all week long. That's not how we lose weight. So, yeah, so we have to go through that. So you're right, man. It comes from a coach they had or a family history. And then, yeah, not just re-educating the athlete, but also re-educating the family and the parents.
And you know, a lot of that comes from also the friends that they're playing sports with, because there's usually one kid who's kind of like the best kid on the team. And usually that kid, his father and his grandfather played that sport. Mm-hmm. So everybody's looking at him to get how to do things. And he might be telling them the wrong thing to do.
Very, very true. Yeah. And kids will, like, whoever the studs are, the big time athletes on the team, the kids will absolutely try to emulate them. Right. Our technique changes a little every year in wrestling. I show a lot of things, but I can promise you this, whatever the best wrestlers on our team are doing, everyone else on the team will start trying to do it. So there are many times I'm like, all right, if everybody's running chicken wings on top, then we're going to make sure we spend some extra time on make sure we're doing them right. And we have setups and things like that, you know, we have systems there. nutrition's absolutely no different. It's just that, nutrition can affect you no matter what sport you're in, you know, big time in a really fast way. So some of the side benefits of nutrition, I was just thinking, you know, like your immune system, right? We keep our immune system strong. So that's something we often talk about during wrestling season is, and this is, should be for any sport, but if I am training super hard and practicing hard and competing hard over a 3 to 4 month season, but I'm not eating well and I'm running my body down, my immune system's compromised, you know? So what are some of the ways that whenever you're talking with your athletes, that food helps them stay healthy all around, you know, we're talking better sleep, we're talking immune system, some of the side benefits.
So, I mean, good nutrition affects every aspect of your life. So the first one we like to talk about is just your mood in general, because if you're hungry, not fueling your body properly, dehydrated all the time, you're just a mean ass person. There's just no other way to put it. So when you're eating, you might be eating less than you're used to eating, but when you're still eating 6 times a day, giving your brain all the energy it needs, you're just a happier person, you know, in general. Then there are all the health benefits like you talked about. And the other thing is you got to remember that a lot of the people we're talking about are kids that are still growing and maturing. So by not fueling your body properly, you're not letting your body go through the right growth and maturity that it's supposed to go through. So those are all aspects that we take into consideration as part of our nutrition program, because we want to make sure kids are growing and developing healthily, besides being successful in their sport and in the classroom. So nutrition affects all those things.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then academically, I mean, man, if you don't have good nutrition in your body, how can you focus? You know, how are you going to study properly for a test? How are you going to go in and sit down and execute in the classroom if you're starving yourself or if you're dehydrated, you know? So yeah, those are all important. Families.
New York, speaking about that, New York does something very interesting that I really wish all other states would do. So for wrestlers in New York during the regular season, when they get to school in the morning, if they have a match in the afternoon, they have to make scratch weight in the morning, but then they're allowed to gain 3 pounds throughout the day.
Oh, wow.
And then they weigh in the afternoon and they're allowed to be plus three.
Yeah.
So if their weight class was 113 and they make 113 in the morning, they can be 116 after school.
Nice.
So that allows them some nice room to eat and drink throughout the day. And, you know, I think every state should do something like that because it definitely helps academically.
Yeah. Yeah. So here in Kansas, we don't always follow the national rules. We have our own set of rules our state association makes. And one thing that we did for a long time when I very first got here, I'm like, oh man, like, cause I grew up in Oklahoma, and in Oklahoma, we have 1 hour weigh-ins before dual meets. You weigh in 1 hour before you compete, which is what we do in college as well. And then you have 2 hour weigh-ins before tournaments. And Kansas didn't have that for a long time. So they had at home weigh-ins. Now for regionals and state, it was on-site weigh-in, but like for a dual meet, we would weigh our team at home. You have to have your athletic director there to weigh you, not just coach's word, you know.
Right.
And I guess you're kind of trusting other teams that their athletic director is going to be there. But anyway, so we would weigh our team in, you know, 6:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. The opposing team would do the same thing. And then we would wrestle that evening. So then kids could rehydrate, they could eat. And so then they were fine at school. I think a big reason why they did that initially, at least from what I've been told from other coaches that are from Kansas, is, you know, like in Western Kansas, it's really spread out. So a lot of these teams have to travel 2 to 3 hours just to go find competition. And so they're like, you know what, we don't want to have the kids to wait that long. And then anyway, so they would weigh in the morning. Well, that changed a few years ago. And now we moved to the 1 hour weigh-in before dual meets and the 2 hours before tournaments, which I'm fine with. Again, it's the system I grew up in. It's what we do in college, but we often don't think about the academic side of it and how that affects a kid. And I know when I was in high school, I remember just sitting in class, just starving. And my dad was our coach, and he's a phenomenal coach, but we had to wear like a dress shirt and a tie and slacks. And it's the last thing I wanted to be in, man. Like, I'm tired because I'm cutting weight and I'm starving. And you got clothes that aren't comfortable on. I wanted to be in a hoodie and sweatpants, you know, and then you go way in. The last thing you were thinking about was school. And if we had a home meet, or even if we didn't, a lot of times I would have teachers like, hey, can I go to the restroom and cut weight? And they would let me do it, you know, and this was long time ago, but you know, they would let me leave and I'd be in there cutting weight and things like that. So academics was not a priority on those days at all.
Well, and I'm sure as a coach, every once in a while you get a complaint either from the nurse or from a teacher about a kid falling asleep in class or not paying attention or, you know, those kind of things too. And I think being able to eat something and drink something during the day can really help alleviate some of that.
Absolutely. Now I will say, like our team, a lot of our guys don't cut a lot of weight, which is awesome. We really emphasize that. We want them to be as big and strong as they can all season long. But it's kind of funny thinking about different sports. So I do a chapel sometimes for some colleges. And so there's an Emporia State University Division II college about an hour from us. And I remember the first time I went down to run chapel for them, we went to brunch and then I spoke after brunch. And man, these guys are just eating this incredible meal. There was like pork chops and eggs and all this food, right? So they had breakfast and lunch foods. And I remember eating and I got up there and I was like, okay, I chose the wrong sport. Like, your pre-meal is this. My pre-meal was like a half of a protein bar, you know, or my pre-competition meal was like a half of a protein bar. So yeah, so different sports are different things, but no matter what, man, we want our nutrition to be on par, right? So we feel good, perform good, and walk out there and ultimately enjoy your sport. If you're not getting to eat well, you are not going to enjoy your sport. And people are like, oh, you just got to be tough. That's part of it. Like, well, like you stated earlier, 30 years ago, maybe that was the mindset, but today we know a lot more about nutrition. And so sometimes people don't know, and that's where you come in, you know, to be able to really truly educate them. Which kind of leads me to my next question. How many of your clients that you work with do their parents end up kind of getting on board and eating better as well as a family?
I would say almost 100%. Because, you know, our appointments, most of our clients are under 18, so their parents are part of the appointment. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we'll do group texting, so a parent will be on the text with the athlete and myself. So they're really, integrated, involved. Plus, we try to build a menu that allows the athlete to eat dinner with the rest of the family.
Yeah.
So we try to build a dinner that the whole family would eat, but the portions may be a little different. Like for an athlete that has to make weight, their portions may be a little smaller than the rest of the family's eating, but they're still eating the same thing. Mm. So that's how the family really gets involved. And a lot of times I get told how much the whole family's improved their eating, is healthier, everything.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cause when we're talking to kids, a lot of times maybe the mom and dad work, right? So, or they are the ones responsible for making their own meals, making their own food. The kids are, but they're typically not the ones going to the grocery store and buying the food. So, once you have a menu for them, of course, mom and dad are going to the store, they're buying the food. But I know, like in my household, I don't want to have me on a certain diet, my wife on a certain diet, my children on a certain. Yeah. So if we can all come together and eat the same things, that just like quadrupled the value of what you do, because it's so rare these days anyway, that families have sit down time and have a meal together, which I think is incredibly valuable. We try to do that as much as possible. We're on the run. I have 4 kids and they all play sports. My wife's a coach, I'm a coach, but as much as possible, we sit down and eat. So I think humans in general like to gather around food, right? It's hey, what do? We get together with people and we like to eat. So if the family can do that and then everybody's eating healthier, and think about, that's such a great support system for that athlete. Everybody in the family is getting on board. Hey, you're not alone in this process. We're all getting healthier during this process. We're all getting right. That's an excellent point. I'm glad you said that and mentioned that. That's extremely valuable, not just for the athlete, but for the whole family. So what is probably your favorite thing when it comes to working with athletes in nutrition? You've been doing this for a long time now. You're an expert at what you do. Give me a couple of your favorite things.
I would say one of the most favorite things is beginning to work with an athlete when they're, maybe in like 5th, 6th, 7th grade, like a real young guy, and being able to work with them all through college until they're done, competing in their sport. Mm-hmm. And getting to see that athlete grow and develop, improve, and just that relationship you build over a long period of time, working with someone. The other thing I really like hearing about is how things have changed and how someone who maybe was about ready to quit a sport, once they're eating better, feeling better, and feeling better, they love the sport again, especially in a sport like wrestling or boxing. There are times when the grind just gets to be overwhelming. And if I'm able to kind of reverse that pattern, make them feel better so they can feel better at their sport, there's nothing better for me than doing that.
That's huge. And when you train hard, man, it just takes a toll on your body. I know when I was a college athlete, there were so many times, and I'm sure maintaining weight was part of it, but you're practicing your heart out, you're lifting weights, you're trying to do well in school, all that absolutely takes a toll on your body. And no successful athlete goes it alone. They just don't. In a sport like wrestling, like we say, like, oh, it's an individual sport, or boxing, it's an individual sport, or maybe track, like, right, when it's just you out there. But you have to, any high-level athlete has a great support system. And so it takes the parents, it takes the coaches, it takes the athlete, it takes the mindset coach, it takes you as a nutritionist to be able to do that. And, so not only the nutrition you give them, but heck, as you guys are texting back and forth, it may be one thing that you say that night that kid's like, aha, like it's a spark that they needed, right? It's the word that you gave them, a spark that they needed, that lifted their spirits up at the right time. So there's more than just nutritional value that comes with it, man. So the entire support system is awesome. And I think that the more we can broaden and deepen that, the better for athletes these days. Some people just want to just go be a part of a team. They don't really care about how good they do. So when we part of something positive, that's awesome. But I think most people want to be their best when it comes to whatever they're competing in. And so having these other facets added in is extremely valuable. Okay. So whenever you are working with, I have a daughter that's going into cross country this year. So I'm getting free advice. I'm still on advice from you now, Dan.
That's all right.
But I'm also trying to think about fall sports as people are coming into fall sports here, football, volleyball, cross country, things like that. So whenever you're doing a sport like cross country, where literally you're running every day, okay? Because I thought about this earlier when we were talking about eating some food before practice. What are some things that a cross country runner might eat throughout the day so that they have fuel, but also they don't have a bunch of water and food sloshing around in their stomach while they're out there running?
Right. So a lot of times with them, it's about making sure they're getting enough, but not too much, mm-hmm. leading up to those practices. So, you know, we like that term of grazing almost for a lot of our athletes. So they're having kind of a breakfast might be a couple of eggs and a piece of toast. Then for a morning snack, maybe a piece of fruit and like a granola bar or a handful of trail mix or something like that. Then lunch, you know, most kids have to take their lunch to school, and especially with COVID, that's all gotten a little screwed up.
Yeah.
But, you know, most of our clients are eating some sort of sandwich for lunch, a piece of fruit, and then something else to go with it. And then their pre-workout snack could be any of the things we talked about earlier, protein bar, protein shake. You know, probably for the runners, I probably would stay away from the shakes because they're just a little too much volume. And, you know, with the protein bar, you don't have to eat it all at once. If you're sitting in class the period before practice, you could rip off a piece and eat it. Then 10 minutes later, rip off another piece.
Well, and it's funny too, like when it comes to running, because for a long time, and I'm one of those people, like I like to work out with very little on my stomach. You know, as a wrestler, I like to practice very little on my stomach, but I've studied, one of my assistant coaches is an ultra marathoner. He runs like the 100-mile runs. And I got into kind of studying that because it's so fascinating. And one guy made a comment. He was like, it's an eating contest as much as it is a running contest because they have to consume so many calories. But I'm like, man, and this guy was talking about like, he would like eat pizza while he was running. Like, how do you do that and not throw up, you know? But I think, again, it's probably finding foods that set well on you, foods that you can stomach and feel good and then go out. Because either way, we got to have calories. We got to have fuel and nutrition.
And, you know, today there's a lot of options too. There are proper healthy supplements you can use mm-hmm. to get calories in if you don't feel like you can eat a lot. So we're also looking and trying to stay on top of all those new things that come on the market, being able to know good supplements from bad supplements, and providing that information to our clients as well.
Give me just a little bit of supplement advice. I'm a supplement guy. I use a lot of nutritional supplements. I highly believe in them, but what are some basics that, you know, that you're like, hey, no matter what across the board, like I think people should be taking some of these things. Are you?
So our food supply is about 20% less nutritious than when you and I were kids. Mm-hmm. So the same apple that you and I ate, let's just say it had 100% of all its vitamins and minerals. Today it would have about 80%.
Yeah.
So I think every athlete needs to be on a really good multivitamin. That's going to kind of fill in the gaps from their nutrition, because no matter how healthy you're eating, there are probably going to be some gaps. We also recommend a branched chain amino acid with electrolytes for almost 100% of our clients. The BCAAs help with muscle repair post-workout, and I love the ones with electrolytes because then you're getting the rehydration with electrolytes at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I think that's like just a really good bang for your buck. And then after that, every other supplement we recommend is really individually based.
Okay.
And we feel like less is more. So we don't try to pile on a bunch of supplements. Mm-hmm. We try to target what the person needs, keep it really simple. Because the other issue is compliance. You know, supplements are a lot different than medication. When the doctor gives you medicine because you got a cold, you take it for 10 days, it bangs it out, and you're done with it. But for a supplement to work, you have to be taking it very consistently to get the results you want. So when you start giving a 15-year-old, you know, 10 different things they should be taking, something's in the morning, something's at night, all this other stuff, chances of them doing that are like negative 10.
Yeah.
So we try to keep it really simple, pretty much something in the morning, like the multivitamin, the BCAA as a drink post-workout, and then maybe fill in a couple other things if they need it.
Okay. And then one of the last things I want to ask you about nutrition here is, and I've heard you mention several foods, but balance, you know, so taking away, I'm trying to think how I want to word this, but taking away all the fad diets and things that are out there, you know, what are the components that we're looking at, let's say throughout a day, whenever you're feeding an athlete and maybe the parents, right? What's the way that we can kind of balance this? Carbs, fats, things like that.
I would say for about 75% of our athletes who want to maintain their weight, have good energy, and perform well at their sport, we try to give them a balanced diet of 40% protein, 40% carbohydrates, and 20% fat.
Okay.
For clients that are on who are trying to gain muscle, we'll put their protein a little bit higher, drop their carbs a little bit. And then we'll kind of manipulate those ratios based on how they're responding and what their specific goals are. But if you really look at doing a balanced diet, 40% protein, 40% carbs, 20% fat, you should be feeling really good on that diet.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, I think, pretty much what I've prescribed to for a long time. Good fats is something I've really focused on personally, you know, and especially in recent years, making sure that I'm getting good fats in there. And, you know, for so long, it's crazy. The 80s just jacked America up, but everything went no fat, low fat. And so right. Looking at high sugar, we're looking at diet sodas, just full of chemicals and stuff like that. And, can you speak on this? Some I've studied a decent amount, but I think just in general, a lot of people still don't have this involved in their eating plan, like some sources of good fats and why we would even want to have good fats.
I mean, one of the problems we do have today is a lot of people have, there are more food allergies today than ever before.
Yeah.
So for the client that doesn't have food allergies, we like introducing a lot of nuts and nut butters into their plan as a source of healthy fat. Avocado is a great source of healthy fat. Mm-hmm. Encouraging our clients to cook with healthy fats, so some olive oil, that sort of thing is always really good. So that's really how we try to introduce it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think a lot of times people either don't even pay attention to it, or like you said, they're thinking about, you know, like, okay, like I can add some peanut butter, but yeah, what if they're allergic, or what if they're, maybe they don't even like peanut butter, you know? So thinking about alternatives, avocados. I mean, I know for us, like we go through avocados left and right because we use them in our protein shakes in the morning. By the way, if you do that, or if you haven't done that and you like protein shakes, it makes them so smooth. And I'm a peanut butter guy, right? I love peanut butter. I could eat peanut butter all the time, but avocados make them so smooth. So anyway, I think it's a good thing to talk about just because a lot of people in general don't really know that, or they don't know the sources. It's like, hey, I've heard about these healthy fat things, but I don't really know like how to get healthy fat or where that's at. So,
you know, as you said, now you could also throw in a tablespoon of coconut oil into a shake or something like that as another source of healthy fat if you're not getting it. But if you really log your food, you'll probably see that your fat content is, if you're eating a traditional diet of regular proteins, meaning beef, chicken, pork, fish, and you're eating it in that quantity of about 40%, you're probably getting enough fat in your diet that you don't have to supplement too much.
Okay, very good. So, and then fruits and vegetables. I love fruit personally. My wife makes me eat vegetables. I would say, and we do, because she makes sure that we eat them. So I throw a lot of spinach in my shake. And so that way I feel like I'm at least, it looks green, right? So for me, I'm like, all right, I think I'm getting a lot of nutrition in here, and I throw that spinach in there. But, you know, so yeah, so when it comes to balance all around, I think it's great for our athletes, but again, for our families. Okay. So what is probably, we're not dissing any other sport, but what's probably your favorite, maybe a couple, but sports to work with when it comes to athletes and nutrition?
You know, it's one of the things that's been really interesting in my career over the last 12 years of doing this is I've gotten to work with all kinds of different athletes. So, and some of them you don't even think of have a weight component to their sport. Like I didn't know until I started doing it that crew had a weight component, that you had to make a certain weight depending on the boat that you were going to be crewing in. So that was really interesting to me to start working with some crew athletes and helping them both have the power that they need in the boat, but also being able to make the weight that they need to. All the combat sports, obviously, I love, and all the strategy that goes behind making weight and then being able to perform at your best. More recently, I've been working with more martial artists like competitive Taekwondo athletes. Their weight in situations a little different than like a wrestler might be or a boxer might be. So that's the other thing that's really interesting is understanding the little nuances of these sports and how you have to do things just a little bit differently if you want that athlete to really perform at the highest level.
Yeah, that's good. And I can't even imagine. I mean, you've got to work with so many athletes in so many sports now. I would imagine it's probably stimulating mentally to go through and try to figure out like, hey, how can I get this athlete on the exact correct diet for them, right? For them, for their body type and for their sport. I got to think that's challenging, but also exciting and rewarding at the same time.
Yeah, it's always a puzzle. You know, you're trying to take this athlete and trying to plug in all the different parameters and over time kind of moving them in the direction that they need to go in. So it's always a process, and you have to develop the relationship with the athlete so they trust the advice that you're giving them. And then they need to see progress if they're going to continue to work with you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so that I'm glad you said that too, because it's kind of like we often talk about enjoying the process, right? I mean, we can't control outcomes. We can control everything else along the way. So the way we train, the way we eat, the way we sleep. But at the end of the day, like winning is still pretty dang fun and losing is not very fun. So right. We're still trying to win. We're still trying to be very high level as we're doing those other things as well. So like you said, seeing the actual results. I mean, we got to see some results. And I guess to reword that, also feel the results as well. You know, so there's nothing like, man, I mean, when you truly can feel whenever you're eating correctly and you're building more muscle, you're getting stronger, you're thinking more clearly, all those type of things. So you see the results, but you also feel the results with what you do.
But I think it's important after a competition to sit back and kind of look at the things that went right and the things that went wrong. So I'll have a client, you know, someone who like, you know, I had some clients at One Fargo a couple of weeks ago. And one of the things I want to do is talk to them about how everything went, what things could we even tweak a little better. Yeah. Were there times in that competition that maybe their energy wasn't optimal? They were able to pull it out because they're great athletes. But that doesn't mean we still can't make improvements in what they're doing. And when an athlete has a bad day, which all athletes have, you could be an awesome athlete, do everything right, and you can still have a bad day. I do like to talk to them about that bad day and see if there was anything nutritionally we can improve upon, the process getting to weight or whatever it is, so that we can take and control the controllables. We can try to control that and prevent it from happening again.
Absolutely. So, and that's how you continue to grow as an athlete, as a human being, and continue to kind of get that edge, you know. And that, again, principles are principles, they apply everywhere. So for athletes, for a business owner, I mean, we're always trying to figure out good ones, right? People that are trying to grow and be really good at what they do. Here's what we've done to get to the process. Here's what the outcome was. Now we're going to go back and review and see how we can improve upon the process, which is awesome. So I love that you're doing that with your athletes.
And, you know, you were talking about how there are a lot of other people who are paying attention to the podcast besides athletes, like business owners, things like that. And when we work with a business person, we'll talk to them about if they have to give a big presentation or a big speech, that's basically a competition, right? So how they're fueling up until that competition is important for me to help them with. There's nothing worse than standing up in front of an audience of a couple thousand people and feeling like you have to run to the bathroom because you get diarrhea, right? Yeah. So, I mean, that's the same kind of thing. And there's strategies that in any walk of life you can use. You're able to perform at your best.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, I speak a lot of places publicly and I almost treat it like an athletic competition, you know, so I'm making sure I'm fueling good throughout the day. Again, I would rather go out and speak with a little less on my stomach, same way I competed, but I don't want to be totally empty, you know? So yeah, I mean, you want to feel optimal whenever it's time to step up and perform, you want to feel optimal. And, it's not easy to do. So that's a great point that you brought up right there, because these things apply everywhere, man. And if we want to be good at something, we have to look at every facet that we can control the controllables, and then do our best in those areas. So, all right, now how does, and you know, I'm going to put your website and your social media and all that in the show notes as well, but how does somebody get a hold of you to begin working with you and Champion Athletes?
So the easiest way is to look at our Instagram or our website, which is champion-athletes.com. And we have examples of all the different sports we work with. You can type into our little questionnaire box and then we'll get back to you. And that's usually how we start engaging with clients.
Okay. Yeah. And again, I can tell people from firsthand experience, you and I have done a number of webinars together. And, you know, we're doing live broadcasts and people get to ask questions and get all kinds of questions. And Dan is an expert in what he does and coming in and really answering those questions and helping people get what they're looking for. So I can only imagine the amount, and that's just on the spot. I can only imagine the amount of value that you're giving people whenever you're having time to sit down and really hear them and work with them and go through nutritionally. So, okay, Dan, I always ask this, man, as we get ready to exit the interview. And again, you have an incredible company and you're an incredible person. So the more we can know you, the better. And I like to have high performers on here. You're very good at what you do. You can answer any of these singular, or you can answer all three and expound upon it as much as you want. But I want you to tell me about a hero, a highlight, or a hardship in your life. Again, little of each, or just pick one: hero, highlight, or hardship.
So I think I'm going to start with the hardship, because this is an area that a lot of people don't know about me. Mm-hmm. But 10 years ago, I had a major medical issue, and my heart actually was only functioning at 10%.
Oh, wow.
So for a year and a half, I lived with a pump to assist my heart. And then 8 years ago, I had a heart transplant. So I'm, you know, in some ways it was the hardest thing I went through, but in some ways it's been the best thing, because it's allowed me to reflect on my life in a different way and really prioritize the most important things throughout my life. So when I'm approaching a client, I always kind of think of how I was in that position and try to have that kind of empathy with the clients that I work with.
That is awesome. I did not know that. That is incredible to have a heart transplant. And then empathy is so huge. It's funny. I was just sitting outside the other day and I'm reading a book and I just stopped and I was thinking, and I started thinking about empathy, because empathy is really important as a coach. It's really important as a human being. And I was thinking, I want to be able to see somebody else's perspective and understand it, but I don't want to like literally be in their shoes, because I think like, if you were to get in somebody else's body, you'd be like, oh, I quickly want to go back to my own problems. Right. Yeah. But to be able to understand where somebody's coming from in their life is such an important life skill, is such an important value and characteristic. And so a lot of times we only know what we know. And so we're coming at things, which is why this is Coach P's perspective. We're coming at things from our perspective, but whenever we can learn about somebody else's perspective. So just hearing that about you and knowing that you've gone through what you've gone through, in my mind, immediately adds more value to what you do as well, right? When it comes to nutrition, when it comes to working with people, and then knowing the value that you put on life. So just briefly, whenever you go through something like that and you're kind of contemplating life in general, did it allow you to sort of slow down and to be more grateful for smaller things? I mean, tell me about the mindset perspective real quick.
Yeah, I think it does that. But I think what it taught me the most was to always keep putting one foot forward. Because there are a lot of times when it would be really easy, you know, you have this pump connected to you with these batteries, and be really easy to say, you know what, I just don't want to go out of the house. I'm just going to stay home. I'm not going to do anything. But it was really important to me to keep working, to keep progressing. And every day, just getting out of bed, putting that one step in front of you, because that's how things get better. If you don't do that, you're stuck where you are. So when I was in the intensive care unit and I was just waking up, because I was in a coma for about 12 days, there was a Robert Frost poem that kept playing in my head. The one that's a thousand steps until I can sleep, that poem. And it just kept playing in my head. And that's kind of what I kept thinking about, that until I could rest, I needed to get to that point. And that's kind of played through my head ever since then.
That is amazing. I love that. What great life advice right there, man. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. Keep moving forward. Life is full of highs, lows, peaks, valleys, ups and downs. And no matter what, if you're on the top or you're in a valley right now, it's just keep putting one foot in front of the other, moving forward. Incredible. What a good way to wrap up this podcast. I couldn't have asked for, it's like we planned it. I couldn't have asked for a better way to close that, man, because I know that hit me in the heart right there. And I'm sure it's going to hit our listeners in the heart as well. So tell me again real quick, Dan, I'm going to have this for everybody listening in the show notes, but tell us again real quick, your social media and your website.
Yes, we're available on Instagram @ChampionAthletes. And then our website is champion-athletes.com. So feel free to hit us up and we'd be happy to work with you, answer questions you have, and help you be a better athlete.
Absolutely. So, well, this has been Dan Wearing a Cough, Champion Athletes. I can tell you right now, I 100% endorse everything he does. I've got to work with him before. And if you are a high-level athlete, if you're the parent of a high-level athlete, if you're a high-level business person, it's for all of us. Getting your nutrition right, getting it better, not going it alone, having an expert help you is exceptionally valuable. So, Dan, thanks for being on.
Chad, thank you very much. You couldn't ask for a better time.
Yes, sir. So, all right, everybody, this has been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. May God bless you, smile upon you, and give you peace. Till next time, we're out. Hey, before you go, I just want to tell you thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Coach P's Perspective. And then a couple things that I would ask. One is hit the subscribe button. That way, every single time a new episode comes out, man, as soon as you open up your podcast app, it is right there, ready to roll. You can listen to a new one. The second is, if you would, and we earned it, give us a 5-star review, a quick written review, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts, that's great. You know, one of the ultimate goals is to grow this show and to positively impact as many people as possible, and that helps. And then lastly, jump over to lanefrostbrand.com. Visit my friends over there. You know, this is an incredible company, family owned, operated, honoring the late, great Lane Frost, who is, you know, a former rodeo champion, was one of my idols growing up. And this is one of my absolute favorite companies. So if you need ball caps, t-shirts, all kinds of apparel, again, go over to lanefrostbrand.com and check them out. Thank you guys again. Much love and God bless.
Podcast complete. Now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins. Tell Satan to stay up off of me.